Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Han. Today is Wednesday, July 12th, 2017. I know we're coming back from actually a little bit without an episode, not having one on Monday or Tuesday. I was in Las Vegas at the NBA Summer League for a few days, staying at the SB Nation house, basically a big Airbnb, where a lot of SB Nation writers and editors were staying, and it was just kind of a little crazy for a few days. So if there had been some major news, I would have found a way to kind of sneak somewhere private and record a podcast. But with everything going on, I figured it just made more sense to skip a couple days and, you know, spend time watching games, making connections with people, and all that good stuff. So I definitely learned a lot about a lot of different teams from talking to writers from around the country, and was able to catch a lot of bad basketball, because there's, especially on Sunday, I think I saw five games, and all of them were pretty horrible. So, you know, summer league ball is always an adventure, but I think it's, you know, it's important to talk about especially how we watch summer league and what we watch for, because the summer league is not the D league. The Summer League is worse than the D League, frankly. And even the D League, being good in the D League doesn't necessarily translate to being an NBA player. And I think we get this sentiment sometimes that if someone is, you know, a really good starting level player in the Summer League, then they should be an NBA player, and that's just not the case. The level of play is so low and the sample size is so small that you can't really judge who's an NBA player and who isn't from overall performances. In fact, it's not really fair to judge overall performances in the Summer League at all. You know, you look at a guy like Dorian Finney-Smith for the Dallas Mavericks, who was a rotation player for them as a rookie last year. He's not a great Summer League player because he's a defensive combo forward. He's kind of like a young Lukemba Mute. Imagine if you put Lukemba Mute in the Summer League. Do you think he would score 20 points a game and really prove himself? No. He'd probably be invisible, because one of the things that he needs to be successful is to be playing off of really good players like Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, JJ Redick. So, rather than trying to determine who is an NBA player and who isn't based on Summer League, I think it's more important to look at specific things that individual guys that you already know are NBA players are doing. And so what I mean by that is Bryce Johnson. A lot, you know, he had a really good game in the Clippers' first game. I think he had 23 points against the Lakers. But what I enjoyed, or what pleased me, was that a lot of what he did was repeatable at the NBA level. Turnaround shots in the post with his length and his touch, he can do that against NBA defenders. Him slicing to the basket from the high post and making plays almost in a Blake Griffin-esque fashion, he can do that against NBA defenders because he's slender and athletic enough. Now, things that concern you, like rebounding and interior scoring around the basket, those are things that even if he was doing in the Summer League, I wouldn't necessarily trust it, because the level of strength and physicality in the NBA is so much higher. So those are things he still needs to improve on. He needs to get stronger, and he needs to be more energetic. You know, I call him casually athletic, because it's like, even when he throws down a big dunk, the feeling you get is like, wow, that was impressive, but it was like no big deal for him. You rarely see Bryce Johnson in a situation where it looks like he's pushing himself. And a lot of times he comes off seeming even a little bit lazy. And so those are things that I would like to see, and those are things I, you know, you look at these specific details, like Cindarius Thornwell, who's had a tremendous summer league, hasn't really impressed me very much, even though his contributions to this summer league team winning games have been great. But as far as in scouting him as an individual, he doesn't look like an NBA guard. He looks like a 6'4 power forward, maybe a 6'4 combo forward. He needs to be a shooting guard in the NBA. And this is what we saw with Brandon Dawson a few years ago. Brandon Dawson was this high energy hustle guy who, he got offensive rebounds, he played really great defense, he got to the rim and scored inside, but he really didn't do anything outside of the paint. And he was 6'6". And when he came time to come to the NBA, and the players that he had to defend were all better, the people defending him were all bigger and stronger and better, he wasn't really able to compete. Now, I am way more hopeful for Cindarius Thornwell than I was for Brandon Dawson. And I'm not saying that Cindarius Thornwell is a bad player, or that the Clippers shouldn't have drafted him, or that they should cut him, or anything like that. I'm just saying there's work that he has to do before he's an NBA rotation player. He has these flaws. Juwan Evans, who's been very good in the summer league, you know, he had kind of a slow start because he only joined the team on Thursday, but one of his problems coming in was that because he's so small and so quick, he over-penetrates and gets stuck in bad situations. And it's something that he improved upon over his time at Oklahoma State, and it's something that I definitely think he's doing a better job of here in summer league than he did in college, but it's still something for him to keep working on, and I think that's one area where he could really use D-League reps, game minutes. I'm not sure that Cindarius Thornwell needs game minutes. He just needs to rebuild his jump shot. But Juwan Evans needs game minutes of coming off of a pick and roll, seeing the floor in front of him, and picking a spot. Because right now, I feel like in at the NBA level, a lot of his kind of aggressive downhill nature is going to end up in blocked shots and turnovers. Whereas there might be times where he needs to come around the screen, and instead of immediately snaking back underneath and cutting off the roll man, or immediately turning the corner and attacking a 7-footer and 6'10 guy guarding the basket, he needs to sort of stretch the defense out, go sideways, pull that hedge man with him to open up a lane for the screener to cut to the basket. So, you know, these are things for him to work on. Again, it doesn't mean he's a bad prospect. But I think this is the type of stuff that you have to look at in summer league. If you're going to take any value out of watching it, it has to be these minor details. What you really can't do is look at a guy like Jameel Wilson and say, oh, the Clippers should sign him. He's having a good summer league. And Jameel Wilson is having a good summer league. In the first game, 7 points, 3 of 4 shooting, 6 rebounds, came in off the bench, made an impact. +5, plus minus, the Clippers won the game by 3. In the second game, 18 points, 7 of 8 shooting, 4 of 5 from deep, 5 rebounds. He was a +30 in 16 minutes in a game that the Clippers won by 19. And then in their third game, 18 points, 8 of 10 shooting, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, +13 in a game the Clippers won by 7. So it's entirely possible that without Jameel Wilson in the summer league, the Clippers are 0-3 instead of 3-0. And frankly, when he had that first game against the Lakers, I thought, wow, he made a really nice impact in this game. And then he totally dwarfed that with his performances in games 2 and 3. But Jameel Wilson is a 26-year-old player, 5 years in college, the final 3 of them as a big-minute player at Marquette, which is a prominent program, 2 full seasons in the NBA D League, and a full season in Italy last year. So, if you do the math, Clipper scouts probably have over 200 full-length games on him. 3 games in the NBA Summer League, which is low competition against mostly players who are 6 or 7 years younger than him, does not make him an NBA player. Now, that doesn't mean he's not an NBA player no matter what. He very well could be. But you have to be really careful about a guy. If he comes into Summer League and you think, you know, he's another wing on the roster, but we don't think he's really an NBA guy, and then he has a good Summer League, he's still probably not an NBA guy. Now, we don't know. None of us, you know, unless someone is listening to this podcast out there who's a professional scout, casual Clippers fans or even diehard Clippers fans don't know if Jameel Wilson was a guy primed to make the NBA jump from Italy this summer. He had a strong year in Italy, but we don't know if he's primed to make that NBA jump. If he is, then the Summer League is as good a sign as any. He's dominating Summer League. If you thought he was an NBA player, he's reinforcing that. But if you thought, yeah, he's Summer League, basically roster fodder, we need to put 15 guys on a list, and he's willing to come over, and we needed a wing, and he's a wing, then cool. You know, he's having a good Summer League, and maybe this means he gets more eyeballs on him in the D League or overseas next year. But I think it's a mistake to look at a guy who is clearly not an NBA player and based off of three Summer League games, say, man, the Clippers should really sign him. And I'm getting a lot of people telling me that the Clippers should sign Jameel Wilson. Here's what I say. If they were thinking about signing him, he's done a good job of reinforcing that. If they weren't thinking about signing him, they shouldn't do it no matter how well he's playing in the Summer League. Now, I don't want to make this episode too long just talking about Summer League stuff, but I do have a couple other notes to make. Let's talk about Isaiah Hicks. Okay, so I'm just going to talk about a handful of players, players of note that have been with the Clippers over the last few games. So Isaiah Hicks is signed to the Clippers on a non-guaranteed contract. Now, this means he probably won't make the team, but he does have a little bit of skill. It's almost like he just doesn't really know how to apply himself to the game, and so he gets in bad spots. Like, his feel isn't great, his basketball IQ maybe isn't great, but he is a solid player, and I think he's had a few, you know, effective games. 7 points and 4 rebounds in 11 minutes in game one. 10 points in 14 minutes, but only 1 rebound in game two. And then he didn't really play a lot in game three with Montrezl Harrell being there. But so he's been solid, but yeah, I haven't seen anything special. I'm still at a point where I feel like Isaiah Hicks probably gets cut in training camp, which is how I felt coming in. But maybe he's a guy who can end up with the Clippers in the D League. I think that might be a good fit. If they waive him and he clears waivers, which he should, then they can maybe consider putting him on a two-way contract or just putting him outright on their D League roster. Now, speaking of Montrezl Harrell, Montrezl Harrell just showed up to the Clippers' third game. We don't know why he played. You know, I can speculate, but I don't know why he played. Montrezl Harrell's a third-year player. So the way the Summer League works is rookies and second-year players are required to play if they're healthy because the NBA wants to make sure that there's a certain level of quality of play there, that it's not just D-League guys and undrafted free agents, that the top prospects are there. Now what you get is teams being exceedingly cautious with their really valuable prospects. We saw Brandon Ingram, who was a part-time starter for the Lakers last year as a rookie and projects to be their full-time starting small forward next year. He got a leg cramp, and they shut him down for Summer League. Teams are exceedingly cautious with their major prospects. But Montrezl Harrell, my guess is that he showed up to this game and said, "Can I get a run in?" And the coaches said, "Sure." So he showed up to their third game against Milwaukee. He was wearing the extra jersey that doesn't even have a name on it. He's not on the Summer League roster. There was no announcement he was going to play. And he's out there in warm-ups. And I say to myself, is that Montrezl Harrell? And now he's a new Clipper. He's brand new to the team. So while I've seen him before, obviously, when he was a Rocket, it's not like I'm super familiar with him. Like, if DeAndre Jordan went out there, I would know it was DeAndre Jordan. But so I'm like, is that Montrezl Harrell? I'm trying to figure it out during warm-ups. And then they come over after they do their warm-ups to get ready to start the game, and he takes off his warm-up shirt, and there's no name on the back of his jersey. I said, that has to be Montrezl Harrell. They announced the starting lineups, and it is. And he basically, he was too good for Summer League last year as a second-year player. He dominated Summer League because he's a very high-energy, athletic, strong, big man. And he was too good for Summer League this year, too. 21 points on 10 of 13 shooting, 3 big-time blocks. He didn't get a lot of rebounds, but I'm not sure that he was really concerning himself with rebounding. He was looking like he just wanted to run up and down the court a lot, basically. And he did, and he definitely, helped contribute to the Clippers' win. And he was, you would expect a player, an NBA rotation player should dominate in the Summer League at whatever they do. Now, like I said, a guy like Dorian Finney-Smith is a good example for Dallas. That doesn't mean 20 points a game. For Dorian Finney-Smith, that means basically he should be guarding top prospects from other teams and showing off defensively and showing that physically he's more developed than a lot of the guys around him, rebounding, driving to the rim and finishing over guys, stuff like that. But not necessarily from a skill factor. A guy like Montrezl Harrell, what he does is a lot of energy scoring, athleticism in the paint, running the floor, and so he should be able to do that at a very high level in Summer League. And he did. So, he cleared the bar. It's not like he's an all-star now or anything, but it was fun, definitely, for me out there as a fan to see a guy show up and play. It was fun. It makes me wish that Sam Decker would show up and play too, but I don't think Montrez is going to play in the next game. I think he kind of showed up to this game because he wanted some run and then left, but that was fun. I think I've talked about every Clippers prospect except for David Michener and Kyle Wiltshire, because I talked about Bryce, talked about Thornwell and Evans, who are the three Clippers draft picks. Bryce, the second-year player. Montrez has a guaranteed contract. Isaiah Hicks has that non-guaranteed deal. So David Michener, the Clippers second-round pick from last year, and Kyle Wiltshire, who is an undrafted free agent signed by Houston last year, who's currently with the Clippers on a non-guaranteed contract after being traded in the Chris Paul deal. So David Michener has drawn a lot of flack over the last couple years because his play hasn't been great. And he wasn't projected to be drafted. The Clippers made this huge reach to get him. Now, I didn't hate it because to me it shows, creativity, outside the box thinking. Doc gets criticized so often for picking the four-year player who he saw on TV in March, and now he went with some unknown French point guard. So I didn't hate the pick. Obviously, I don't know anything about Michener as a player when they picked him, but he was pretty bad in Summer League last year. Him and the other guards' failure to really bring up the ball against defensive pressure or run any kind of offense sort of contributed to that team last Summer League being ineffective all around because the guards couldn't do anything. And then he came out in this Summer League and kind of an afterthought, partially because the Clippers guards struggled so much last summer. The Clippers went and got Kendall Marshall, who's a very good passer and a more seasoned, experienced guy to run the point this year. And it worked very well in game one. And David Michener played only 3 minutes off the bench. He had 3 fouls. He missed a shot. Really, again, didn't look like much of a Summer League player, which, I said you can't take too much stock in Summer League performances, but if someone doesn't look like they belong on a Summer League court, then they definitely don't belong on an NBA court. And last year, he kind of didn't look like he belonged on a summer league court. And in that 3-minute stretch in the first game, he really didn't look like it either. Going into game two, he played 10 minutes. And while he wasn't anything special, he looked like he belonged on a summer league court. He looked like a summer league guard, basically. He scored, you know, he made his only shot. He had a few assists. He had a couple turnovers. He had a few fouls. That's pretty much how it goes for a lot of summer league guards. You take the good with the bad, right? Like, a good drive and finish, a bad turnover. A good steal, a stupid foul. That's what you tend to get with summer league guards. So then you come into game three. And the Clippers are at the point, I think, in game three where Juwan Evans has assimilated himself after only joining the team on Thursday, that they're comfortable starting him, and they want to get a look at Michino as well. And so what teams do in the summer league a lot is they rotate their lineups. So they'll play 12, 13, 14 guys in a given game, but they'll rotate the starting lineup, they'll rotate who's playing more and who's playing less. They'll give, you know, whatever handful of guys get the DNPs, did not play, they'll put those, you know, they'll switch it up. It's not like there's the Clippers last season, Diamond Stone was always the 15th guy. But in summer league, because it's more for development and for getting a chance to see guys and see guys play together, they rotate everyone in. So what we saw is Kendall Marshall, who had been the Clippers starting point guard the first two games, not only did he not start in this game, but he didn't play. He wasn't even wearing basketball shoes. They made a premeditated decision. Kendall is going to sit this game out. We're going to go with Juwan and David at point guard. So Juwan Evans is playing. He had a very strong game. 11 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. Okay. David Michino comes in, and for a glorious 5-minute stretch, he was like the best player on the court. 4 points on 2 of 2 shooting, including one really nice floater in the lane. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and at least 1 or 2 other plays where his pressure defensively forced a turnover. He made a real impression in those 5 minutes. It was really exciting and gratifying to see him break through, even just in summer league. You know, it still doesn't mean he's ever going to have an NBA career, but he went from looking like he didn't belong, even in the summer league, to looking like, okay, this is a summer league guard, this is a young guard, to now in Monday's game, really looking like this is a player who was drafted and who is a step above all of these undrafted and D-League guys. And then after playing for 5 minutes, he gets a steal, he's running up court, and a few steps after his steal, he pulls his hamstring. And he kind of limps down underneath, and with the pulled hamstring, throws a lob off the backboard to a trailing guy for a dunk. And then the Clippers have to commit a foul so they can sub him out of the game. Strained hamstring, will not return. 5 glorious minutes of David Michino. So I feel like with all the time that people spent criticizing him over the last year plus since the Clippers drafted him, he deserves a little bit of credit for those 5 minutes. And I hope that his injury is mild enough that he can return for however many games the Clippers end up playing. Depending if they keep winning, they could play like up to 4 more games. But I hope that he's able to return to summer league so that we can see hopefully more of this good David Michino. And then the last guy is Kyle Wiltshire. Now, Kyle Wiltshire, you know, he doesn't look like he belongs in summer league. And that's a bad sign for a guy who's hoping that the Clippers will keep his NBA contract. But he's by far the slowest guy on, I think, any team in the summer league. And I think the pace of the game and the athleticism and the moment has kind of gotten to him, to the point where even as a shooter, he's not making shots. So Kyle Wiltshire, you know, Kyle Wiltshire is not going to go dunk on people driving the lane. You know he's not going to be a good defender. He wasn't a good defender in college, and he wasn't a guy who drove the lane and finished in college. But he is a shooter. And what I'm seeing is a guy who should be Steve Novak. He should be a liability on the defensive end. You don't want him dribbling the basketball, but man, he's going to space the floor on offense. He's going to stand there. He's going to hit 40-plus percent of his threes. Kyle Wiltshire in these few games hasn't done that. He shot really poorly. He hasn't made a three. He didn't even play in the third game, which is a bad sign for a guy that is under contract with the team. And even in warm-ups, he looks so rattled by the moment and the level of play around him that he's not even making shots in warm-ups. I haven't seen him make a warm-up shot this whole weekend. So, you know, I would love to be proven wrong. I'm never rooting against any of these guys, obviously, even if I have a negative criticism. So I'd love to be proven wrong. I'd love to have him come out and have a good game in their next game. But for a guy who's in his second summer league, who's hoping the Clippers will decide to keep his contract when it becomes guaranteed on August 1st, this is a bad sign. And I'm expecting now, I was at like 80% sure the Clippers were going to cut him, 20% they might keep him, because Houston signed him for a reason last year. They thought, undrafted player, really good shooter in college, can we make him into the next Steve Novak, basically. And then he spent most of the season in the D League, and I don't know if Houston would have cut him or kept him, but because they needed his salary for the Chris Paul trade, that was that. Now with the Clippers, I was thinking there was maybe a 20% chance they might keep him, just because, for the same reason Houston kept him, maybe he's another Steve Novak. But based on Summer League, that 80% that he'll get cut is kind of growing, and now I feel almost certain that he's going to end up being released before his August 1st guarantee date. And now just one last thing I want to mention quickly is that Kendall Marshall has really impressed me. And talking with some people from around the league, you know, just not anything serious, not like I'm having discussions with Doc Rivers and Lawrence Frank, but just chatting with some people, watching some games, you get the feeling that people really do view Kendall Marshall as an NBA player. Not as an NBA rotation player, but as an NBA player. And I kind of described the role that I envision for Kendall Marshall if he makes the Clippers this year, which would be you let Juwan Evans go to the D League and get all those D League reps, and you keep Kendall Marshall as your third string point guard, where if Patrick Beverley turns an ankle and you need a guy to start, or not to start, but you need a guy to be your backup point guard for 8 games. So you're going to give him 12 minutes a game over 8 games. Cool. Kendall Marshall can do that. He can run an offense. He's not a great player. He's not a great defender. He's a little slow. He's an inconsistent shooter. He's very flawed. But at 26 years old, with multiple years of 5 years of professional basketball experience, 4 in the NBA and 1 in the D League, he's a very good passer. He can step in and run an offense. And he's professional. You know, he can ride the bench. He can play 20 games in a season and he stays ready. And this is a feeling that guys around the league get, that Kendall Marshall is someone's third string point guard next season. So it's possible that part of the agreement with getting him to play for this Clippers Summer League team was that they would give him a training camp deal and give him a chance to make the team as that third string point guard. A lot is going to depend on what they decide to do with Juwan Evans, because Evans is obviously a priority over Kendall Marshall. Evans is a 21-year-old rookie. Kendall Marshall is a 26-year-old player entering his 6th season. So the Clippers are obviously going to prioritize their draft pick. But if they decide that what's best for Evans is to spend the season in the D League, and I think that that's what is best for him. You know, I don't know what the Clippers think, but that's what I personally think, especially because they just invested all this money in opening up their new D-League franchise. It certainly seems to me like they should use it. So you send Juwan Evans to the D-League, you bring Kendall Marshall on for point guard depth. I think it works. I do think it works. So it's just an idea. You know, it's possible the Clippers keep Juwan Evans on the 15-man roster as like a fifth guard, and they think that he's going to be able to get 10 minutes a game in 40 games of the season, and that's more valuable than all that time in the D League. That's possible. But it's just an idea, maybe an option, to bring Kendall Marshall on as that third-string point guard, let Juwan Evans go down to the D League. That's it for my D League rundown from the last few, or my summer league rundown from the last few days. The Clippers are 3-0, so they got a first round bye. So the first round of the playoffs is today, Wednesday, where teams 9 through 24 are playing each other. So there will be 8 winners from today. Those 8 winners will face off against teams 1 through 8 tomorrow on Thursday. The losers of Wednesday's and Thursday's games will play in consolation games on Friday, and then the winners of Thursday's games will play, continuing the tournament, quarterfinals on Saturday, semifinals on Sunday, finals on Monday. So this is how the Clippers' potential path looks. Tomorrow, they will play the winner of Washington versus Miami, which is 3 o'clock Pacific time on NBA TV today. They'll play the winner of that game. If they lose, they will play a consolation game on Friday, and then win or lose, they're done. If they win on Thursday, they will have Friday off, and they will play Saturday. If they lose Saturday, they're done. If they win Saturday, they play Sunday. If they lose Sunday, they're done. If they win Sunday, they play Monday. And Monday is the championship game. So potentially, if the Clippers win tomorrow, and then win back-to-back-to-back Saturday, Sunday, Monday, they would be Summer League champions. Any loss along the way, the championship, you know, once you lose a game, it's single elimination. But if they lose their first game, they would get a consolation game. So they're set up to get at least 5 games and as many as 7 games. So while I would like the Clippers to win the Summer League championship because it would be cool to win, you know, winning is cool, I care really more that we get to see the extra games because it's fun to watch basketball. So I hope they keep winning so that we can keep seeing games. And then, you know, I think that if the Clippers do win the Summer League championship, they should get a huge banner made and hang that over the Lakers championship banners during the regular season instead of their post. You know, they put up those posters of the Clippers players over the Lakers championship banners. I feel like they should put up a huge 2017 Las Vegas Summer League champions banner that's as big as, you know, the other, all of the other ones combined that are up there. That would be like the biggest troll ever. That would be pretty funny. Okay, so we'll be back tomorrow with a new episode. We'll talk more about free agency, which we didn't talk about at all today because the Clippers aren't really doing much. And what the Clippers can do is they round out the roster with these last few roster spots, the limited tools that they have. And then on Friday, we'll have our last episode of the week rounding things up. Hopefully, we get some free agency news coming from the Clippers in the next couple of days because they've been really inactive and they still have a couple things that they need to do. But we'll see about that when the time comes. Thanks for listening, guys. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or feedback, you can hit me up on Twitter at LucasJHan. You can email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. And be sure to check out the Clips Nation blog at clipsnation.com and on Twitter at clipsnationsbn. Thanks for listening, guys. This is Lucas Hand signing off for Locked On Clippers.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.